And this morning, as we think of Mother's Day, I want us to look at a passage that John writes in his book. We've gotten a little bit of a taste of who John might have been, what he loved, from looking at the beginning of his gospel. And we're going to get a little bit of a taste of why many, and even we, will be studying 1 John and seeing that it is full of this idea and language of love. But before we do that, and before we look at our text, I just want to begin our time in prayer together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you even for the sun breaking out. As we look into your word, as we see the Son of God and his example to us of love, even his example to the apostle and disciple John of what love looked like. Lord, and I believe and pray that we will learn even this morning on this special day that we will come away seeing love in a new light and seeing the fact that we can influence others with that same love, the love that you have shown us. Lord, may I get out of the way. May your words be powerful and speak through me, the instrument, the vessel, the means, but always may we sit and learn and obey your word. May it be our master. May you be our master and not ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you all to know this morning that all of you, women, mothers, grandmothers, can be considered mothers and can actually take on the role of mothers in the family of God. You all of the female, and I would say men, you too can be fathers within the family of God. But women, you have the ability to maybe not be called mother even now, but to act as a mother to someone else, especially if you are in the family of God and you know of someone else in the family of God, that you have a special influence, a mentor type relationship. Maybe some of you are a teacher to some others and they look up to you and are learning from you as an example. And this morning, John gets the privilege of not just having one mother, but being bestowed upon him a second mother. And I believe for some reason, John was the one to have this happen to him. Because he, of maybe all the disciples, understood the love of God the greatest, understood this attribute of love. And I believe in his journey or class or internship with the Savior, he went from someone who was called a son of thunder. Who, if you remember, in John 8, he asked the Savior, well, if those Samaritans won't believe, let's just call fire down upon them. Let's just bring judgment to those people. That makes sense, right? The son of thunder. Let's just deal with them. He was black and white, most likely strong-willed. Most likely following in the footsteps of his brother, James. If you remember, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Do you also remember the instance when either they went to their mother and told their mother to ask Jesus, or their own mom decided, I'm going to go to Jesus and ask him a favor. Could my two boys sit on your right and your left hand in glory? It's quite a favor to ask. But these were those two sons, James and John. And if their mother was indeed Salome, who we read in Scripture as one who came and was there at the cross, Salome is the name for peace. The mother whose name was Peace goes to the Savior to ask, can my boys reign on the right and on the left of you? Can my two boys be the most prominent? Maybe a little too much of a request. But I have a feeling, as we see in the Gospels, as James and John and Peter thrown in there, we're continually having this discussion of who is the greatest of us. Do you remember these instances? One was after the transfiguration of our Lord. After the transfiguration, as they're coming down from the mountain, Jesus is by himself. The disciples go back down into town, and Jesus follows up with them. What was the discussion you guys had on the way down from that amazing vision and event that you were able to be a part of? The transfiguration was when Jesus turned and looked in his glorious state. His robes and everything was white, whiter than any laundry detergent could get them. And he was glorified in the presence of these three men. They're seen Jesus for all he was, perfect God, perfect man. And you would think, you know, they even, one of them requests, let's just build some homes and just stay here forever. This is the greatest moment. Jesus says, no, that's not my mission. But as these disciples walk down from that amazing event, what's their discussion? These sons of thunder. So who's the greatest? Is it you, James? Oh, actually, maybe it's myself. Or Peter? I mean, he said, wow, you made that amazing confession that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Peter, on that, I'm going to build my church. Whoa, Peter, what an impressive man. Who's the greatest among us? Jesus took this kind of a disciple, John, a son of thunder. And he turned him, I believe, to understand not just that truth mattered, which John totally understood, black and white, strong-willed, called the son of thunder, maybe even separated himself, as we even saw with the Samaritans. Well, if they're going to reject you, Jesus, just judge them now. He turned a man like that into someone who doesn't even mention his name in his own book, but the title is the one whom Jesus loved. The disciple of love. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, as we look at one of these instances. We're going to just look at a few verses this morning on seeing another glimpse of who this John was as we gear up to head into the book of 1 John. In John 19, verse 25, we get a glimpse now at the end of Jesus' ministry. In the moment of his greatest humiliation and pain, as he's on the cross, there's a picture of some women there at the cross, and as it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at verse 25 of John 19. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother And the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. In that moment, this man who had walked with Jesus for 3 years possibly had been turned in a man who wanted to rain thunder and lightning and destruction down on people to now one who is entrusted with the mother of the Savior. John, the only disciple, the only man as seen in all the Gospels who was there at the cross. As we know, Peter denied the Savior 3 times and he went off and wept bitterly, ashamed, most likely guilt-ridden. How could I do such a thing? Broken promises from Peter. As we know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the arrest happens, Jesus even foretold that all of his followers, all these other men, would flee. And the only two that we have witnesses of being present as Jesus is on this road to the cross is Peter, who denied him, and John. John, who was able to get access into the inner courts, he knew the priests, he was connected, as some would even think, by family members. He was able to get in and be there to watch the beatings of the Savior, the mockings, the punches to the face. And he was there, as we read here, at the foot of the cross. And just 3 things that I want to pull from this sermon is that John is a witness of love. He is a recipient of love, and he is entrusted to love. John, again, is a witness of love, a recipient of love, and he's entrusted to love. And the truth is, all of us, even this morning, mothers included, we can put ourselves into these categories as witnesses of love. I pray as well, truth be told, that you are also recipients of love and you are entrusted to then go out and love. Well, we can clearly understand how John was a witness of love, for he witnessed the greatest example of love, Jesus, in his life. It says, when Jesus saw his mother. And I want us to first look at the man Jesus there on the cross, a witness of love, beginning in in chapter 13 of John, the first verse, it says that Jesus loved all who were given to him in the world, and he loved them to the very end. And part of that little picture here is seen in John 19, 25, 26, and 27. How did Jesus love those who were entrusted to him to the very end? Well, can you imagine? He is on the cross, giving out his last words, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," and saying, "It is finished," and breathing his last. But before he does that, we have this little glimpse in John 19, that even on the cross, he's loving someone else. He's thinking of someone else. He's caring for his own mother. He loved them to the very end. And it's interesting, but history would tell us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had lost Joseph before this time. She was now a widow, even with sons and possibly a daughter in the family. But Scripture specifically states four sons. But we know at the time of the cross that none of those four had come to know Jesus as Savior. In the Gospels, the crowd says, Jesus, your mother is here. She wants to talk to you and see you. And do you remember what Jesus responded? Who is my mother and my sisters and my brothers? But those who obey the word of God, these I will call my brothers and my sisters and my mothers and my fathers. There's something even greater than blood relatives. There's a spiritual connection within the family of God. And even though there were no brothers at the cross, most likely because they didn't want to follow Christ, they didn't want to even be present or have anything to do with this man who was on the cross, who was their brother, there was Mary, his own mom, looking up. Most likely at this time, a follower of her own son. She would have called him the Savior. Now, I'm sure mothers and your sons, you just can't do that, right? You can't actually call any of your sons Savior or the Son of God because you know your sons all too well. But this mom did know her son, and yet she came to believe him as the Son of God, as the Savior. And who was present there at the cross? Well, none of the family, none of the sons, but a man named John. John, who had witnessed Jesus, this man of love, this man who loved his disciples to the very end. John 13:5, do you remember the instance? It kind of begins this upper room scene. Jesus takes off his garments, puts on the towel of a servant, and he shows his disciples, this is how I love you. I'm going to serve you and wash your feet. The book of John and the book of 1 John, the language in both of those books, we don't see anywhere else this word of love used so often to refer to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, this idea of love. Of course, the greatest verse we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God so loved the world. How did he do so? Through giving the world his son. 1 John uses this title, little children. And it's interesting, but I kind of wondered, well, where did this come from? John speaks to the church and he uses these words, little children, in the book of 1 John. Well, this is what Jesus said in John 13 in the upper room with his disciples. In verse 33 through 35, John 13, little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. John, for some reason, of all the disciples, it seemed like the love of God, the love of Jesus shown in how Jesus reached out to so many, healed so many, spoke to so many with compassion and care. For John, he's just kind of watching all of this and witnessing love. Here is what love looks like. And he sees it even in Jesus' final breath. The love of Jesus even cared for his mother and made sure she was going to be okay before his own death. Jesus, what does it say? Saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved. John was just not a witness of love, but he was a recipient of God's love. This term, the disciple whom Jesus loved, it's used 5 or 6 times in the end of these chapters of John. John 13:23, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. It is believed that John was the one who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper and asked Jesus, "Is it I who is going to betray you? Who is it, Lord?" There was a close friendship with Jesus and John. To be the one next to his Savior during that time of the Last Supper and communion. John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which we read here in this text. John 20:2, the chapter following. So she, that was Mary Magdalene, who we looked at during Easter, she ran to the tomb and went to Simon Peter. She ran to the disciples, actually, and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. John 21:7, the next chapter. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. This is when Jesus connects with Peter after Peter's denial. They're out fishing. And who but John would go, "I know who that is. That's the Savior. Peter, that's the Lord." And as Peter in good fashion always does, he jumps into the sea and goes after his Savior. John 21:20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" John 21:20. And the reason why we believe that this reference is, in fact, John is because of John 21:24. This disciple whom Jesus loved, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John must have really understood the love of Christ for him, for himself to just give him the title, not of John, but of the disciple that Jesus loved. John was not just a witness to love, not just a recipient to love. But here, as we read in John chapter 19, at the end of Jesus' ministry, he's entrusted to love. He is told by the Savior, "Behold your mother." John, as I have cared for my mom, as I have been with her through these years, as she has followed me and maybe lost her other sons because they did not believe at the time, as I have been there for her, I am now giving that responsibility to you. Behold, John, your mother. And it says there at the end that on that same time, he took her to his own home and made sure that she was not left alone. The love of the Savior for his mom, to not leave her, to see her own son dying there. I can't imagine a kind of day like that. What if the other women just had left, gone back to their homes, John back to his? And there is Mary. What do I do now? The Savior has died. But no, Jesus in his love, as John 13:1 says, he cared for her. And he cares for all of us to the very end. She doesn't have to be left alone at the cross. She goes home with John, most likely with fellow Christians, the disciples possibly gathering in that place, weeping over what they had just witnessed, but caring for Jesus' mother. John was entrusted to love. He was entrusted with a few other important things. The care of the Savior's mother. He was also shown the transfiguration, entrusted with that special event when Jesus said, "Do not mention this to the other disciples." We now understand why that might be the case. Well, guess what? The three of us, we were up on the mountain and we got this special treat. We got to see the glory of the Savior. Jesus says, don't share that. Don't boast about that. I'm entrusting that to you, three men. John got to witness some of his most amazing miracles, and also John penned 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and the privilege of finishing the Word of God with Revelation. Caught up into a vision as Jesus showed him the end time, the last days. What a privilege of John to be entrusted with these things. Acts 1 does tell us some good news about Jesus' mother, that the brothers that were separated or disconnected from the Savior. And it is believed, as church history would tell us, that they came to believe in Christ when they saw that he'd risen from the dead. And so Mary is reunited with her sons, and they are all in the family of God together through Jesus' resurrection and through what the sons saw. And if you would continue on with church history, you would find that John and James were instrumental in beginning the church, the first church in Jerusalem. As Galatians chapter 2 tells us, that they were there in Jerusalem called the pillars. These men were the founding apostles of the church in Jerusalem. 1 John 3:1 is interesting as we think about that we have been entrusted with love. 1 John 3:1, and we'll look at this as we work our way through the book of 1 John, but it says, and maybe your translation says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And you'll see 1 John uses this word children over and over again. And so we are children of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The beginning of that chapter, what kind of love the Father has given. That word given is this word to bestow. To kind of entrust to, hand over, gift to. It is something that we must receive, but it is given or lavished or entrusted to us, a love from the Father that, as John continues to tell us, with that love, we love one another. And your translation might say, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us." Some of yours might say, "Behold, behold what kind of love the Father has given to us." The same word in John 19 where Jesus says, "Behold, John, your mother." Listen to these words. Pay attention to this. This is weighty. Don't miss out on what I'm about to say. "Behold, she will now be your mother, John. I am now entrusting you to love her as I have loved her." And John I think, could say, I can love her because you, Jesus, have shown me what love is all about. And for all of you, even as I began this time saying, we can all be mothers within the family of God, I pray that you can see that the love that I believe especially flows out of mothers, that love can be rooted in the love we find in the Savior. The love that radically changed this son of thunder to not give up the truth. He certainly did not forsake the truth or waver about that. He was still black and white, but he understood how to mix love in with the truth. As Ephesians 4 says, the Apostle Paul tells us, speak the truth in love. I believe this apostle, John, as we look into 1 John, we're going to find that everything he says is black and white, speaking the truth, but it is spoken through the channel of love. Have you, all of us, mothers included, but have we all been a witness to love? If not, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See the Savior and how he loved. But more importantly, are you a recipient of that love? Have you received the love of the Father through the Son to you individually? And I pray the third question is also, do you realize that you have been entrusted to love? And over again, I'm just amazed. To look at how my wife loves our kids, it's just different than how the daddy loves his kids. I might be more like a John, black and white, needing to learn how to grow in my love. But my wife gives out over and over again, sacrifices over and over again, loves over and over again our two little ones. And the question that we can all go away with this morning is, you have that capacity. God is even shown to have the qualities of a mother, to love and to be compassionate and to show faithfulness. And I could go on. But because we are the family of God, even as Jesus trusted this brother in the Lord, John, with his own mother, the family of God has that special privilege. There's even a greater bond and greater benefits for those who are in the church. And mothers can be cared for and felt safe and loved in the family of God. And mothers can then go and do the same for maybe a mother who needs love, or maybe a younger woman who needs to be shown what mothering looks like. Or maybe you as a mentor can show that love and compassion of a mother to someone that you have influence over, a young one. And that's just not all for mothers this morning. That's for all of us. We can do that because we are in the family of God. Whether it be our grandkids, our kids, or just a friend, or even someone who really needs a mommy or a daddy in their life. We have been given that love to show them that kind of love that comes from our Father, has been entrusted to us as Jesus entrusted John with his own mother, and now can go out as we show others the love of the Father for his children. We can all have a part in the family of God towards showing others the love of God, the love that he said was a love to which he gave his own son so that we might have life, life forevermore. Isn't that good news? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you witnessed your son's obedience as you sent him to this earth to show us what love was like, the love of a father for his children. And somehow this man named John caught this, saw the love of Jesus toward the disciples, toward those who were broken, toward those who were sick, toward those even dead, that he cried over and wept over. He saw this heart of love in his Savior and now is able to teach us through his book of 1 John what love looks like. And Lord, thank you for the gift of love, even as we think on this Mother's Day, that you have bestowed and entrusted to us to go and love others. And Lord, maybe it's a reminder for us to show love to a mother that we have not been showing love to, not been saying, I care for you because Christ cares for me. God, may you change our hearts like you changed the heart of John. May we be people who love, and may our study in 1 John be a way in which we grow in understanding the Father's love for us and our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.